The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Now, it's been confirmed by the Department of Justice that three new direct provision centres are to open in three different parts of the country. All of these new centres will be hotels in rural areas. Our reporter Barry White has been to visit some of these towns and he's with me in studio now. Barry, good morning.
Hi Pat, good morning.
You've been on to the department, what are they saying?
Yeah, so the department have confirmed that three hotels in counties Wicklow, Roscommon and Donegal are to be opened as direct provision centres in the next fortnight. So the Grand Hotel in Wicklow Town will accommodate 100 asylum seekers. The Cash O'Mara Hotel in Mayville in County Donegal will also be an accommodation centre for 100 asylum seekers, while 80 asylum seekers will live in the Shannon Key West Hotel in Rooskey, which lies on the Roscommon-Leitrim border. Now, all of these hotels have been vacant and disused for a number of years, but the department have also confirmed that any necessary refurbishment work will take place and all these premises will be fully compliant with all relevant regulations.
So Barry, you went to Mayville in County Donegal and to Rooskey in Roscommon. How are the people of Mayville reacting?
Yeah, so firstly I went to Mayville. So for our listeners who wouldn't be familiar with Mayville, it's a small seaside town in Inishowen, and it's part of the wide Atlantic Way, and it's only 20 kilometres from the Northern Ireland border, so it's quite close to Derry. Now, I got many different reactions, but it was mainly shock, fear, concern. It seems that nobody in the area knew anything about this, not even the local Labour councillor Martin Farr knew about it, or the local Fianna Fáil TD Charlie McConlogh. He didn't know about it either. The first anybody heard of this was when it broke on one of the local Donegal newspapers' Facebook page over the weekend. Now, it's not that the local people are against the asylum seekers living in the area, but they just think that they should have been told more about this, and they think there should have been a consultation process. So the locals I spoke to, they're saying, you know, we should have had a say in this. Now, Mayville has a population of 1,400 people, so an extra 100 people will see the population increase there by 7%. And that these people I spoke to say the area just doesn't have the facilities for that sudden increase in population.
There's something going on here that, why is 100 people being sent up here? It's not a town that that can accommodate 100 people, that extras coming into it. There's no facilities here. You have to wait here for about a week now to get an appointment with a doctor.
We don't know where they came from or what happened to them before. It's not right what they're doing.
Would you have any concerns by that fact that you don't know who these people are
they're
from?
Yeah, because, I mean, how do we know what happened to them before? They could be murderers or anything, how do we know?
Surprise, I'd never heard anything about it through the normal outlets. Lack of consultation, the town obviously wasn't, and have the questions raised, addressed in terms of what's the long-term goal here? Is it just a short-term? What's the time frames we're talking about? You know, what can we do to help? We're welcoming, of course, but in a managed, controlled fashion.
Do you think local people should have had a say in this?
Definitely. Now, a say, some kind of conversation. You know, because at the end of the day, we're going to be affected.
As long as they're properly vetted, and the way any Irish go to any country, they can't get in without being vetted in the normal course of the way that it's done per country. I would doubt very much if these people are being vetted. I don't know. I can't honestly say that. But that would be my concern, that people are coming in here that are unvetted and we just don't know what's happening.
Will these people be welcome in Mayville?
They would certainly be welcome as long as every procedure is followed through them prior to them arriving here in the town.
In today's age, there is no tolerance for old people. As you can see, I'm not neither physically fit and I'm not young anymore. And too many old people like myself have been abused for one reason or another. And there's a possibility that if the wrong type were in this bunch, we could be subject to their abuse.
Would you have fears that could happen?
I would. Definitely, because, I mean, every day in the papers you see old people being abused in their homes, even homes being burnt out by thugs, basically. So, not saying that these people are not decent people. You must get me wrong. I have no idea what they are or who they are. And as I say, if a little bit of research had been done in the beginning, we might be happier with the situation.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And I think that's the whole point, that just nobody was told anything about this. And most people who spoke to says they heard about this on Facebook. So people, like, they had absolutely no idea this was happening.
What about the hotel owner?
Speaking to him now, I knocked on the hotel door. Now, apparently this hotel has been disused for years, and apparently this is a guy who went to an auction to buy a house and ended up buying a hotel for pretty cheap. But he didn't want to give me his name. He didn't want to go on the record. But he has said that he spent a lot of money in the hotel over the last number of years. A company working on behalf of the Department of Justice came to him and asked him would he lease out the hotel. He says he couldn't turn it down. He was offered quite a bit of money. He wouldn't go into details how much, but from the people I was speaking to in the area, he's going to receive quite a lot over the next year.
Okay, but there'll be jobs?
Yeah, 25 jobs, because obviously the asylum seekers have to be catered for.
Now, you mentioned that Moville is close to the border with Northern Ireland, about a 30-minute drive from Derry, that's all. But asylum seekers are not allowed to leave the Irish state. So what happens if they want to go to Dublin, for example?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So I was looking at this. So they might have to attend interviews with the International Protection Office. They might have to attend appeal hearings at the International Protection Appeals Tribunal, or they may have to renew their temporary residence. So if they can't cross the border, if you're going to go from Moville to Dublin, you're going to get the Derry to Dublin bus. So I was working this out today. You'd have to go from Moville to either Buncrana or Letterkenny, and then you'd have to go on to Donegal Town, and then you'd have to go on to Sligo and get the train from Sligo to Dublin. So I was trying to work this out today. So if you're leaving today, the first bus from Moville to Letterkenny is at 8:10, and then you'd be in Letterkenny and you'd get the, I think it was the 9:15 bus, or the 9:45 bus in Letterkenny, and then you would go to Sligo. You'd arrive in Sligo at 10:50, then the next train would be 1:05 from Sligo to Dublin. So if you left Moville 8:10 in the morning, you're going to be arriving in Dublin at 4:15. So if you're one of the asylum seekers are coming down for an appointment,
you've missed your appointment.
You're going to be looking at a 16-hour round trip.
And then you don't have the money to stay in accommodation.
Yeah, and then if they cross the border, you're kicked out of the country. You're not allowed to leave the Irish state when you're an asylum seeker.
What about Roosky? What did you find there?
Yeah, well, again, just for our listeners who don't know Roosky, it was my first time there. It is a tiny, tiny village. I'm told the population's around 500. I think it's a lot smaller. That must be the outer area. But not much in the village. One shop, a couple of pubs, a charity shop. The hotel there has been closed for 7 or 8 years. So locals say that's really hit tourism there as well. So there wouldn't be many people about. And this seems to be the concern for people. They're saying they're not against the asylum seekers, but the problem is they just feel that there's going to be absolutely nothing there. There's no, as some people said, there's no tennis club, there's no football pitch, there's no gym, and they just think there's nothing there for the asylum seekers. And you'll hear that now from some of the people I spoke to.
Absolutely shocked. There wasn't a word to anybody about it. We heard something on the grapevine. Somebody put it on Facebook. And, well, the whole place is just in shock because we have nothing here for them, absolutely nothing. They're going to be in a hotel down there that's down there closed 5 or 6 years. Nothing in there, you know. And there's a bit of a walk up around Shannon, all right, but there's nothing. There's no tennis club, there's no cinema, there's no... What are they going to do all day from they eat their breakfast in the morning until they go to bed at night? You know, it's absolutely crazy. There's one shop here. But, you know, that's it. There's nothing else here whatsoever. School full to the brim, and 2 doctors here, you have to make an appointment to get to them.
Heard before about different centres where they're run amok through the towns and there's problems with them. So we don't want any problems here. This is a very quiet village. We don't want problems, and I can see there's going to be problems.
Do people in Roosky want these asylum seekers here?
It's not that they don't want the asylum seekers, but there's no facilities for them here. There's no facilities for them here.
We've lost everything. We lost our factory. We have a post office here, which is in danger of going as well. So we have nothing. We have no bus service. There's nothing for them here. There is literally nothing for them. We don't know how long they're going to be here. They could be here a lifetime. We don't know until they get other places. And then if it's a suitable place for them, you'll have more coming in, more and more and more. The country is going to be taken over with foreigners and with refugees.
Well, the reality is, in my opinion, this hotel is vital for this village to try and get itself back on its feet again after the recession and the loss of all the jobs in the meat factory, 500 jobs and other jobs that was lost, a garage closed. And I think that hotel is vital for the local economy and the tourism in the area to be there in order to propel the village back to where, or halfway back to where it was 25 years ago.
So you don't want to see 80 asylum seekers going into that hotel? You don't want to see the hotel used as a direct provision centre?
Well, I don't think it's... The hotel is necessary, I think, for the village, not as a centre for anything.
Some voices from Ruski, a text here. There's an old Irish saying, there's no such thing as asylum seekers and refugees, only friends you haven't met yet. Keep your minds and hearts open. And yes, I have lived near asylum seekers. Now, the same sort of concerns were expressed in Ballardreen over a year ago. You went back.
Yeah, so 18 months ago, there was actually protests and public meetings in Ballyhadreen when over 100 asylum seekers were coming to that town. The department have confirmed there's 214 asylum seekers in the town now, mostly Syrian. The people I spoke to, went to the local pub, a guy told me that he thinks they're great for the town, very friendly people. Went into another shop owner again, she says they're very friendly. You wouldn't notice they're there. You see them around, but they're friendly and they would say hello. Now, I spoke to 17-year-old Bashar. Now, his backstory is very sad. He lost his parents, he lost his brothers and his sister, and he's come here with his uncle. And as you hear, Pat, all he wants is to be safe.
Yeah, I'm here in Ballyhadreen 7 months, and I come from Greece to here. Yeah, I make interview in Greece, and they tell me you must come here to Ireland.
So what was it like in Syria before you came here?
Yeah, it's very bad in Syria. Like, there's like everyday fighting and bomb, a lot of bomb. This way we go out.
And you lost members of your family?
Yeah, I lost my family. I was in Damascus and my family was in another town. And there's a bomb in my town of my family. And I can't go to see them. All my brother and sister, they lost, I don't know. They lost, I don't know anything.
And what about your parents?
Also my parents, yeah. My father and my mother. And I have two brothers and one sister.
People who are coming here have got similar stories to yourself. They're just They're just looking for somewhere to live.
Yes, yeah. We come here like we need to start a new life. Because in Syria is very bad life. Like, not safe in Syria.
You've been here 7 months in Ballyhadreen.
Yeah, 7 months.
What's it been like? Has it been a positive experience?
No, it's very good here in Ballyhadreen. And we are happy because we are in a safe country. We're going to school here every day. And yeah, it's good. It's better than Syria. I need to stay here like because there is no future in Syria now. I need to make my future here in Ireland. So I think I want to go to college for work to start like a new life.
And for the asylum seekers that are going to be coming here to Donegal and Ruski, what would your advice be for them? Do you think that Ireland is a good place for asylum seekers?
Yeah, it's Ireland, very good place. And the people, Irish people, is love the refugee here, the refugee people here.
You've never had no bad experiences? No. Everyone's been nice?
No, everyone is nice.
And that report from Barry White from Donegal and Roscommon, the residents there, a bit apprehensive about this, but we shall see how it all pans out. Barry, thanks a million for doing that.